Hey, glad to be with you. We'll continue our series of Ladder with Crowder Bible stories in a second. Just wanted to kind of issue this call to action here. Do you know anyone out there who is in need this Christmas? We're going to be doing a big Christmas special December 15th. If you watched last year's, we'll have a link in the description. We just did basically a whole 2 hours with Santa Claus, I guess Crowder Claus, I don't know, Santa Claus, and helped out families in need and did some stuff with children. It was a lot of fun. Honestly, one of the most fun shows that I've ever done. This year, we'll be delivering Christmas baskets or we'll be delivering checks, whatever people need. So if you can email me at crowderchristmas@ladderwithcrowder.com, someone who you think could really use this, or maybe it's yourself, please send your email at crowderchristmas@ladderwithcrowder.com. We're looking forward to doing that December 15th. And giving back also, something, you know, if you people haven't done it yet, if you come out to a live show, there's something really special, especially around this season, in being surrounded by like-minded people, knowing that you're not alone. New Jersey is sold out this weekend, but there are still tickets in Baltimore, I think, December 3rd, this Saturday. And keep in mind, there's always about 2% of tickets that release the day of. People couldn't find a sitter, or, you know, people weren't able to make it. So if you walk up, find out when the ticket counter opens up, you might be able to snag yourself one day of. But get there early. On with the show, Bible Stories.
Samson, I just don't understand why you won't tell me what would make you as weak as any other man.
Okay. What? What? I repeat, what? Is that a... Of course, why would I tell you that?
Oh, you don't trust me? Is that it?
Is that a serious question? Is that a serious question? Of course I don't trust you. The last time we went out for Drink Tuesday at happy hour, you said, hey, what would make you as weak as any... You remember? What would make you as weak as any other man? I said, oh, I don't know. We had a couple of daiquiris and you know what? If I wake up tied in fresh ropes, lo and behold, the very next morning, tied with fresh ropes. They still smell like new ropes.
That was a sex thing, Samson.
Oh, it was a sex thing. Was it? Was it a sex thing? Because I don't remember any sex as part of that thing. Oh, while we're on the subject, and next time, what would make you as weak as any other man? Why don't you trust me? And I tell you, you know, if someone were to tie my hair in a weave, I would lose all my power, and I wake up like this.
This! I would love the new look.
Who would love this new look? Who, my boy George? No one likes this look.
Samson, I just need you to trust me.
Oh, you need me to trust you. Okay, now we're at the point where we talk about your needs. Forget about my needs at all. As the strongest man in the world who's actually tasked with ensuring the bloodline of the Lord's people effectively. Do you have any idea how hard it is to kill over a dozen people with the jawbone of a donkey? No, do you know how hard it is to actually get a jawbone off a donkey?
It isn't gonna work if you don't trust me.
Box, boundaries, no boundaries. We need to work on this together. We're a team. We are not each other's enemy. My hair, okay? That's the source of all my power. You want me to trust you? There it is. I'm being vulnerable instead of angry, because anger is not an emotion. It simply masks the real emotion. We know that. My hair were cut, I'd be as weak as any other man. That was a lot hotter than I expected. Not a little bit, a lot. I'm talking Sue McDonald's coffee hot.
Ooh.
Which, yeah. By the way, if you don't know about that case, believe me, I'm against frivolous lawsuits. If you think, oh, she sued McDonald's for hot coffee. No, dude, it was rough.
I'm burning it.
It was a real...
No, it's a real... No. Freddy Kuchker.
Oh, come on now. Yes. So, we have a lot to get to today. If some of it seems remedial, there is some relevancy to Elizabeth Warren wanting to control all of the flow of information as she's speaking out against Elon Musk. We also know a little bit more about what's going on between Elon Musk and Apple, and we know what's been happening with Twitter before Elon Musk as it relates to election meddling. Not everything,
But again, this is the war of our time. This is the most important battle of your time, is the battle of information. And something I really have wanted to talk about for a while, but I needed to lay out a case. All references are available at lateralcredit.com. And this is my question of the day. Do you believe that the middle class is shrinking? If you are Gen Z, if you're a younger millennial, do you feel as though, or do you think, I should say, let's eliminate feel from the lexicon. Do you think that it is harder for you to achieve the American dream than your parents who are likely in the baby boomer generation? There's some truth to it. And I think that conservatives, Republicans would do well to hear it, but it's not the truth that you think it is. And the solution is freedom and more options, because there's also a silver lining where you can live much, much more luxuriously than your parents if you make decisions. The problem is the decisions that you have to make fly in the face of every decision that you are told to make from kindergarten all the way through university. So we're talking about that. Also, women's soccer, equality. Yay, they're getting paid as much as the man-ish.
Boo.
Before we get to that, Gerald A., how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good, but Toolman adjusted my headphones. Now it sounds like I'm in a pool. Are these new headphones?
No, oh, they look nice.
Are they new headphones?
No.
Now it's all muffled. I don't give a sh. I don't like, I have a big head.
We don't have headphone kind of money here.
I have famous guy head, and I'm not that famous.
You do have movie star head. That's not bad, though.
Well, you know his movie star head is Josh Brolin. He's like a walking bobblehead.
Well, he has Easter Island head.
Yes, he does. His head was constructed by ancient druids. Yes. Oh, you know him. You love him. Of course, we are in Baltimore, December 3rd. You can go and get your tickets there. It's our last show of the year together, Rebels with a Cause tour. Dave Landau, how are you?
Ahoy. Good. How about you, man?
Good. You're wearing a vest. So really, you only get cold here.
But it's because I wanted to... I wanted to show off one of the shirts in the merch shop.
So your arms don't get cold.
Correct.
Okay.
Now I'm going to button it. Oh, good. It doesn't.
Oh, you suffer from cold. You suffer from cold sternum as well. Yeah. Mine is mainly because it's titanium.
I do. My arms run hot.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you got titanium chest?
We all have our cross to bear. Mine is a titanium cross in my chest.
Ooh.
No, I didn't realize this is the first time where it's been really cold.
Mm-hmm.
It gets cold. I could feel the cold bars. I'm like,
Oh, I remember last year when I kept falling and cracking my head on the ice outside of my...
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it did happen, but you know, I was insulated. Okay, so before we move on with the rest of the news, and again, this is what's happening with what's been going on with big tech, with Twitter. This is a big deal. It's one billionaire, one 4chan autist, which is fantastic, versus all of the other wealthy elite, and you are seeing this coalition. You're seeing them all coalesce right now, saying, oh, we're going to start losing some power. So you are now seeing everyone's true colors. So yes, this subject matter is important to cover. And if it seems repetitive to some people, there's always a new development because there's always new information that is made available. Elizabeth Warren, she just can't catch a break.
Poor girl.
That's what happens every time you speak if it's a lie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's a politician, so we just assume that.
But she's also white.
Yeah. No.
Wait, no? Not Native American?
Zero parts.
Is my cookbook incorrect?
Yes. Yeah, didn't you think it was weird that the Sioux were cooking enchiladas?
Oh, I thought it was strange.
The taquito.
This is the Salisbury Iroquois steak.
Yeah.
They're the using bangers an air fryer. And mash of buffalo.
Yes. Which, by the way, they had to substitute the buffalo meat because they hunted them to extinction.
Mm, true.
See with all the colors of the forest. So a Vancouver woman has now approached parental rights activists. I believe this is in Canada because it's Vancouver. To confront the people who are confronting the drag queen activists who are sexualizing their children. But this woman doesn't have a problem with it, and she makes salient points.
Yeah, we should.
How is
that.
A human being dressing how they want to dress, sexualizing anything? It's a human body. Why is that a sexual thing?
So you think adults should be able to wear whatever they want in front
of
children?
Sure. So Canadians are really uptight. They go to, sure. Why not? Well, it's a body. It's a human body. Why not? So it's a human body.
Should we have naked men reading to little kids?
Sure. It's a human body.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So look, I don't entirely disagree with the point, even though she's gross.
The last point we all disagree with.
Yeah.
What?
Should we have naked men reading to children? And she says yes.
Well, hold on a second. It depends. You're talking like bath time, like in shorts. It's not fully naked.
No. I think she meant in a library.
Yes, no, I know. You're correct. Yeah. It would be a lot of shushing if I was in said library.
It would be.
Yes.
But here's the thing. I agree. Look, context over content. I don't think there's a problem with nudity. This is the issue, right? If you're a conservative, you need to make sure that you counterbalance this effectively. For example, right, David, God, when you're talking about these, a bunch of beautiful art. Michael, is it David Meets God? What's the name of the
Creation of Man.
The Creation of Man with the fingers touching and the ultra small penises.
Yeah, they were not.
I think that was someone who had a girlfriend who's like, no, see, they all look like that.
Yeah.
even God's, even the man after God's own heart has a penis that size.
It's still harder than yours.
Yeah.
It's cement.
Yes.
Was it an Asian model?
But the point is,
it's the creation of Adam.
The creation of Adam. Sorry, I got that wrong. You can admonish me later. But there's nothing wrong. I would have nothing, nothing against my children seeing that. Nudity in itself is not something that is inherently immoral, right? We are all born naked. Now, the issue is when you have degenerate men dressed as women twerking their ball sack in children's face next to the pop-out book section. That's the context with which we have a problem, I believe.
Yeah, well, and it was this guy, I think, was saying, okay, look, I get you say it's just a human body and you can wear whatever you want to wear. He didn't go like, okay, so lingerie, okay, like edible panties or anything like that. He's like, I'm going to go as far as I can possibly go because of course she's going to say no to this. How about a naked guy reading to children? And she's like, yeah, why not? And he's like, what the?
Well, is that a serious question? Do you need me to answer?
Well, yeah.
It's unbelievable that she answered yes.
Well, I think she just, she's a garbage.
I think it's entirely believable though. That's the problem. It's entirely believable. This is what, again, the question you have to ask yourself is not what is the left doing right now? What are Democrats doing right now? What would they do if there were no checks and balances, if they had complete unfettered access to power? This lady would have naked strange men reading to your children. Hey, hold on a second. That's not a straw man argument. Remember, they would say this. We're like, well, what's next? Naked men reading to your kids? Once upon a time, the left would have said, oh, don't do that. Don't straw man us. And she's like, yeah, what's the problem? What? You have a problem with balls in children's face? I do. Yeah. Call me old-fashioned.
Yeah, right after she said that, it should just say Kindle just down there.
Yes.
There's no taint.
I'm still hoping that my Nook becomes relevant.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think of what I can say
because I know what platform
we're on.
By the way, I put on the softies, the Ranger panties that we have at Crowdershop.com when I do bath time with the little ones.
Well, that's because you're their dad.
Yeah, but I'm saying I put those on still because, like, you know, in other words, I get that some dads sometimes, like, they're naked with, like, baby's bath time, whatever. The point is, I understand the context. This is not that. And do you guys find yourself, this is a question, do you find yourself making up songs when you're, like, with your little kids that you're kind of ashamed of, like, dad joke songs?
Yeah.
Of course.
To my son, I'd be like, little red Wyatt, you're driving much too fast.
Wait, why is he driving? He's 7.
I know, but that's why, because he's got a power wheel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was red.
I do. Please don't cry. You have to go to sleep. You know, something like that.
I saw it the other day, and I was like, I'm glad no one saw this. I was bath time, and I was going, it's time to scrub a dub, scrub all the mud, won't get no mud on me.
That's so much worse.
I love it. And I swear to you, I put them, because I have a whole routine. It's like a conveyor belt where I have the towel down, and I put them in there. And then, you put on like the Cerave or Aquaphor.
Yeah.
I like clean butts, and I cannot lie.
I'm sure I've done it with thousands of songs, because I'll even do it with like my dogs. I'll be like, I love it when you call me big puppy.
it's just stupid,
but I think everybody kind of does
it. Yeah.
Let us know. Comment below if you're a dad, if you're a mom, if you do this, and if you also, like us, feel great shame. You won't see it on stage in December 3rd.
No.
Put it that way.
You're delirious, yes.
Oh, wait a second. Before there's some breaking news.
Oh.
Oh, man. Well, it looks like, hold on a second. It looks like Bill Clinton was just diagnosed. He has COVID, but you should know before, it feels fantastic, looks great.
Oh, good.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Wow.
Is that post-mortem? That wasn't a costume?
No. Clinton
Bill
murdered a guy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it looks like she got him now.
Wow,
Casey did it while you were taking a sip.
Wow,
we did a whole segment on that. Go and watch our Norm episode. He was kicked off of The View for about half a decade.
Oh, it's hilarious.
What he said, it's good we get murderers out of the White House. You know, I said, what? He said, oh yeah, Bill Clinton, 1990, killed the guy.
I love how he called back to it like seconds later after
she
they.
She says, "Well, come on, you're supposed to be funny." He's like, "What? How did you not know that?"
Yeah. Oh, you can't do that. You're supposed to behave. Okay. And he goes on. He goes, yeah. And, like he killed the guy. He goes,
And then later, the funniest thing he's ever said is Star Jones was on it. He goes, I didn't really like Star Wars all that much, but, some of them, like Billy D. Williams, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go on to Elizabeth Warren and Elon Musk. That was the first celebrity when he died. I cried by myself.
Oh, yeah.
It was so sad for me.
He's the goat.
Yeah, he really is. I would say so. So Elizabeth Warren, Elon Musk. This is another turf war. I should say this. Sorry. It's more of a, it's an invasion of Elizabeth Warren's land that she wants back.
Weird.
1/1,016th of her. Mm-hmm. So, and you hit the like button, hit share, by the way, if you're watching right now, because the algorithms say that we're dead. We're going to be discussing some things here that YouTube doesn't want us discussing. And if they ban us, fine. You can follow us on Rumble. You can watch on Rumble. Head on over there. It's a live show Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. By that, I mean 10:15. But 10 a.m. Eastern. And head on over to Rumble. I would love to see the numbers go bip, 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 bip. Switch over. Okay. Elizabeth Warren, you've been following us?
Mm-hmm. Love Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
Can't get enough of her.
I only follow her in her dreams when I see her naked in the desert.
Yes. Reading to children.
You don't run the other way.
Yeah. It's the Doors nightmare.
Yes. Her chamber's just a boiler room. So Elizabeth Warren was asked by a reporter, and then she responded. And this is what's concerning about this. When you hear Elizabeth Warren, and when you hear whoever it is, insert today, whether it's AOC, insert whichever Democrat politician, member of the DNC, start speaking out. When you hear them speak out against Elon Musk, I just want you to picture the voice of their friends, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, mm-hmm. Susan Wojcicki, because we know they have meetings, and we know that they've worked alongside them. So Elizabeth Warren was asked about Elon Musk with that context. Here's how she answered.
Republicans say that Democrats are picking on Elon Musk.
Elon Musk is doing just fine.
But do you think that users have a right to freedom of speech, even if what they're saying is wrong or offensive?
I think that one human being should not decide how millions of people communicate with each other. One human being should not be able to go into a dark room by himself and decide, oh, that person gets heard from, that person doesn't. That's not how it should work.
I completely agree.
Interesting.
Completely agree. Why does the room have to be dark? There's a little bit of projection there.
She has a lot of lights off sex.
Yes. Solo.
Yes. Well, yeah, because her husband's not interested.
There, no man should be in the dark and be able to determine who gets to speak and who doesn't by asking their mirror, mirror on the wall. That wasn't the question. I didn't hear you.
You're right.
That's part of my people's traditions.
Do you see the problem here? You can comment below. So look, you have Elizabeth Warren. Let's go through this. She's long been, by the way, a proponent of antitrust laws, right, and breaking up big tech. That sounds good. That sounds good.
On the surface.
On the surface.
Right.
Different thing when you're talking about free speech, Section 230 versus antitrust, but it's a component to it. So here you have from her website, references available at loudhousecutter.com, we must hold these big tech companies accountable and break them up. Okay, go read the rest of it. Then it's just a bunch of fluff. Because you're not actually seeing what that means. It's okay, you're saying this, how? How and the why matters. And you can't consistently line up on the wrong side accidentally, always. You never have an accident that errs on the side of freedom. Let's look at what she actually wants to do here. Elizabeth Warren wants to control the flow of information herself. So during her 2020 presidential campaign, she vowed to, quote, push to create civil and criminal penalties for knowingly disseminating false information about when and how to vote in U.S. elections. And prior to the 2020 election, this is what she wrote on her website, I have already called out Facebook for permitting political candidates to run plainly false ads on it on its platform. Oh, by the way, also included false stories, Hunter Biden, laptop. Mm. Remember, they all said it was Russian disinformation. That's why it was banned from all these social media platforms. The entire DNC establishment said, that's Russian propaganda. Hold on a second. Do you think they didn't vet it? Or do you think they wanted you to believe that it was Russian propaganda, which, by the way, directly affected the outcome of the election? So she wants to have a direct line, and she says that she has a direct line to call for misinformation, and they've been wrong on misinformation. We've been banned for misinformation that was then un-misinformationed on YouTube, to be clear.
Yeah, well, we knew it at the time. It wasn't like new information came to light that all of a sudden made us right. It was readily available.
No, the CDC statistics changed. But I mean, the 2016 statistics, they changed in 2022. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
She also wrote, the safety of our democracy is more important than shareholders' dividends and CEO salaries, and we need tech companies to behave accordingly. That's why I'm calling on them to take real steps right now to fight. So she just said they shouldn't be able to run these political campaign ads. For example, you know that you had people on the right saying, hey, the left did this Russia collusion hoax, right? I think that was one of Ted Cruz's ads. I don't remember exactly who, but this was obviously a central point in Republican ads. They want to say, that's misinformation, even though we know verifiably that it's true. So she wants to silence political opponents. That's fine if she doesn't want anyone to run political ads. Has Elizabeth Warren? Trick. It's not a trick question. One Facebook ad just that ran between October 26th and November 30th spent $35,000.
Oh, so she's fine with it for herself.
Yes.
When she can benefit, that is.
She's saying, I want to be able to run Facebook ads.
Yes.
And, but the thing is, I don't engage in misinformation. Just take her word for it. Don't bother peering behind the curtain and seeing that she, of course, was on the Russia train. Here you go. Elizabeth Warren. Disinformation was one of the several potent strategies that the Russian government employed to influence the 2016 election.
Wait, I thought all elections were safe, fair, secure, that there was no way that we could question the outcome of what happened. No.
Yeah, no.
Well, I think Chief Runs From Reporter is quite a hypocrite.
Yes. Paints with all the colors of the bullshit. Think about that. She's saying, oh, Russia, 2016, they always wanted that election to be in doubt. And then they continued with that to try and affect the election in 2020 by having one of the most important stories that involved the current political candidate, former Vice President Joe Biden's corruption with his son, the Hunter Biden laptop. That was Russian disinformation. Elizabeth Warren, AOC, Kinzinger, they all supported getting that off of social media. Do you see the problem with them determining what is misinformation? I agree. It shouldn't only be Elon.
Right.
But Elon's allowing people on. He's not getting rid of people. Do you see the difference?
Yes. His mistake is basically saying, I'm going to let everybody have a platform and a way to communicate. What she wants is for a room of people to get together and say what is and isn't allowed arbitrarily,
right,
not based on fact. And then it's okay if one person decides, like Mark Zuckerberg or the former Twitter guy in chief, right, before he left. That's the people that she wants to be able to do it under marching orders.
Right.
If they're going out there and saying you can have a platform and you can speak freely, she's not okay with that.
Right.
Why would that be the case in the United States today? Why is that even part of the conversation?
Well, here's the truth is they want, and people like Elizabeth Warren, they want Twitter to be treated differently than all of it. Here's the thing. They want all of the other big tech platforms to continue as is. They're happy with them.
Right.
Are you happy with them? They want to change Twitter because Elon can't be controlled. He's one of the few people. Remember when people used to say, I don't think that we should have billionaires running for office. So you want screw-ups to run the country? There is some value in being someone who is autonomous, not being capable of being bought and sold. And I understand that it's not only financial. Sometimes people are just, they're just grasping for power. I get it. But they want to treat all of the other social platforms one way and Twitter differently. There's only one platform that is allowing more, both right-wing and left-wing opinions on the platform today. One, it's the one that they want to censor for not censoring enough. Just listen to National Security Communications Director John Kirby explain it.
Again, I think we've been very clear and consistent on this. Certainly publicly, we've been very open about our desires to be able to see citizens communicate. And you know, Apple, if this is a decision that they're making, then they should have to speak to that. But we can't. And we aren't in the business of telling private companies how to execute their initiatives.
Yeah, but Twitter's a private company, too. So why is Twitter getting one treatment and Apple's getting another is my question.
Well, these are completely two different circumstances.
But are they?
Oh, are they really?
Are they really?
I mean, the White House comes out and says we're going to keep an eye on Twitter because they're practicing free speech. And you guys are like, oh, we're going to have to keep an eye on Apple blocks, not related to these protests. It's actually worse just because some guys held up a sign that says Xi Jinping should be removed from office month ago. And you guys are like, I mean, Apple, they're a private company. I know that's how people communicate. Elizabeth Warren, one guy shouldn't be able to go into a room and determine how millions of people. What about a billion?
Yeah.
What about over a billion people communicating in China via the AirDrop app to make sure that they can protest and communicate with one another?
Well,
no.
Wasn't it also interesting how much more toxic Twitter was when the left ran it?
I know.
Actually, like, Musk honestly had a tweet about that.
I know. I was, when that was happening, I was one of the primary targets of actual, like, neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
And when they realized they couldn't paint me as a Nazi, they started, you know, photoshopping swastikas and quotes about gassing Jews. And I was like, I didn't. And I went to Twitter and said, hey, you know, this is actually, like, defamatory. It's attributing a quote to me that I didn't make, and I don't have that tattoo. I shouldn't have sent them a nude pic for verification, but at that point, you know, I left everything on the table. Yeah. And they said, there's nothing we can do. We allow this, but then they would remove a post that included the CDC stats.
Right. Well, they said, sir, the picture in question was not of your penis. Why did you send us a picture?
I said, no, that is my penis.
Yes.
Just zoom out.
I sent Michelangelo's penis.
Yeah, and those are very large M&Ms.
See, I told you they all look like this.
See, they're all that size and they're all gray.
You sent them a side-by-side. But think about this. This is something people also miss. Facebook. Okay, so you have, let's look at the big social platforms. You have Facebook, right? Facebook and Instagram. Then you have YouTube. That's Alphabet. That's YouTube. That's Google. Okay. It's not really social media, but you understand the point. Twitter is a distant third. That's the only reason Elon was able to purchase it the way that he did. It's a distant third. If you're talking about influence, it's not even close to Facebook. Why are they spending so much time on Twitter, which is nowhere near the size, nowhere near the user base? Well, the cardinal sin that Elon Musk has committed is allowing conservatives on the platform, allowing the then sitting president, when he was removed, back on the platform just because, if you're going to allow the Ayatollah and members of ISIS, I think he deserves to have a say.
Think about how much power you think you have, too, where you're like, I'm going to get rid of the president.
Yes.
Like, you're just, and all, half the people are just sitting there on, you know, the Starbucks lounge that oddly enough a billionaire didn't consider work.
Right.
But just going on there and trying to find anything that they disagree with, calling it misinformation and blocking accounts.
Yeah.
For years, we're finding out this happened.
Absolutely. Now, imagine being the asshole who bought that. Right. Yeah. Oh, they say misinformation. Good enough for me. If Elizabeth Warren says it, it must be true.
Right.
Oh, hold on. Kinzinger? Oh, okay. AOC said it. Oh, Joe Biden said it. Psaki said it. Jean-Pierre said it. Good enough for me.
Yep.
Okay. Well, then if their word is Elon Musk's word, who doesn't have a dog in the fight politically, aside from allowing all voices to speak, why don't you give him the same credence? I am not asking. I would be furious if Elon started just removing leftists for no reason. Just to be clear. Yeah. If that starts happening, I will speak out against it. Come back here. Hold me to my word. Also, hit the like button right now if you're watching on YouTube, because they do not want you to see what's coming up. And here's the problem, too. You know, the Streisand effect that people talk about. Just have a word of advice, Democrats. Be careful when you engage in this. Because when you start deplatforming people, it actually can end up going wrong. And it can become more of a problem. Just for more proof, look what happened after Chase created this leviathan of competition when they deplatformed Kanye from their bank.
Yeah, the Easy Bank Cash Card gets you more money back for your purchases than all competitors. We going DEFCON 3 on all them Zionist cards, huh?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That sounds good, but as a possible new customer, I have to say that last part seemed a little anti-Semitic.
Yo, I can't be anti-Semitic because I'm the real skeptic. Better yet, I'm the antiseptic. I'm the real peptide, yeah, huh? We don't steal your money or control the media or sleep in bed with your ex-wife looking at her with your big butthole eyes.
Okay. Look, that last one doesn't even sound like it's about Jewish people. I think maybe you need to take your medication.
I don't need no medication. I just need some consternation. Seems to me you done learned a lot from Satan. But I praise Jesus. Y'all better praise Jesus. That's me. Without Mises, even Reese's can't go with pieces. Huh? Praise be to me, Most High, ye. Oh, sh**. Carly Pasternak. I ain't going with him.
Are you robbing the bank?
No, I'm here to take Kanye back to Zombieland. He needs to take his medicine just like you said.
Not like this. I need to call the police.
Don't reach for your phone.
You shot me in the hand. I'm bleeding everywhere.
You leaking on my Adidas. I'm sorry, Yeezys.
Come on, yay.
Okay, but don't forget to use Yeezy Bank. Don't worry. We got you.
It's a clever slogan.
It's a good commercial.
It's not a commercial so much that we procured that from the NSA. They were spying on phone calls.
Oh.
I didn't think the customer service line would actually be Yeezys.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
I thought they just said that. I thought it was more of an umbrella term.
Hmm. I found it an appealing ad.
Me too. Watch that. Hey, thanks, Media Matt. Clip that.
I actually have the Yeezus card. It got denied the other day when I went to buy bagels.
Yeah, I know. And that's weird because it's a debit card.
Yeah.
And you have the money in the account.
Right.
But it's...
it's gone.
Gone.
It's crazy.
I don't know, huh?
Yep.
It must be damn, but can't say who damn is. Because I get a free pass is what? Media, huh? Jews. Okay.
Oh. All right, Kanye.
You can put Converse on there. You can put Nike on there, but no Adidas.
It's controlled by all the Udens. Talk to me. I'd rather go with Putin. Stop with the thing. So, Elon Musk. Hey, if you guys are mad about that, because in a sense, if you were like, you're like, yeah, I support Kanye. Yeah. Name me the best tracks. Name me the singles from College Dropout. Go.
Which is his first and, in my opinion, best album.
I do think Dark and Twisted Fantasy is underrated.
It's a good album.
It is a good album.
I do like his first, though.
No, it's fantastic. I used to get complaints when this was on AM radio because I used one of his songs as a bump. Like, you shouldn't use that because he had Taylor Swift. I'm like, he makes good music, and he's also crazy. So, Elon Musk.
He took an award from when he jumped in front of her.
No, that's not your award.
Yeah, I don't care, but I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had the best video of all time.
Yeah. Here's your war back. Good luck.
I remember that happened. This is Thursday, so just letting you know. We're going to get to some important
it's
stuff.
Happen.
But
I forget how amazingly rude that was.
When remember Balloon Boy? Remember that? Yeah, when people thought there was a kid in a balloon, it turned out it was fraudulent, and everyone was watching and thought this kid is going to crash. I saw someone, this was back before meme culture was really big, it must have been 2009, and someone had Kanye pop in, rotoscript him, and he said, yo, balloon boy, I'm going to let you finish, but Amelia Earhart had the best disappearance of all time. It was the first time I had seen, and I remember I was peeing myself laughing. Okay.
At least you didn't slap
if that gets us removed from YouTube, like I said, it's a live show Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can head on over to Rumble. Of course, we'll be doing some more segments on Mug Club today. It's Chat Thursday. You never know what's gonna trigger the ban here, but we're not going to change what we do. So there we go. As for me and my house, we will, piss off the right people. Elon Musk, his rivalry with Tim Cook, it seems like it's done here. We talked about this yesterday. And when we talked about it yesterday, I did say there are some things that we can't confirm. There are some things that we can confirm. We were able to confirm that Apple had been pulling some advertising, but we weren't able to confirm that Tim Pool threatened to pull
Tim
Twitter.
Tim Pool doesn't have that kind of power.
Tim Pool, that man did a hit job, huh?
He asked me a question in an interview.
Actually, no, I asked him a question. When he tried to answer, I said, don't answer me, because I'm ye, and then I left. He asked Tim Pool a question.
Yeah.
And when Tim Pool was like, well, I don't use the term they, as I believe you do. That's it. This is far too reasonable.
What was crazy was it was just such an inappropriate time to leave. He just like all of a sudden was walking behind him.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't understand.
And you see Tim Pool like doing this, like he's crazy enough, he might hit me.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't.
Yeah, yeah. You better bob and weave, bitch. Tim Pool, half Asian. You my sensation. I'm about to give you some condemnation. Yeah. Stop. Stop.
Just happens.
So it does seem that the two, meaning Elon Musk and Tim Cook, thank you, had a meeting yesterday. And so that brings us to this segment. No, Gerald knows things.
Guys, I'm
okay. Spared no expense.
I don't know that I like any of you guys.
Well, it's okay.
All right, so we talked about Apple potentially removing Twitter from the App Store. That was the big thing. We talked about how much information they control. Well, they actually met, and Elon tweeted out actually that they had a good conversation. Among other things, we resolved the misunderstanding, I'll get back to that, about Twitter potentially being removed from the App Store. Tim was clear that Apple never considered doing so. I'm not 100% sure that I believe any of that. Now, I do believe that they aren't going to remove them from the App Store.
Sure.
I don't think that Tim Cook couldn't have sent a tweet basically saying not true, or maybe a direct message, or picked up the phone and said this. I don't think it took a sit down to come to, oh yeah, that was never actually going to happen.
Could have Neuralinked it.
I feel, well, could have. That's a pretty impressive little invention they've got going there. I think what happened is Tim Cook, and this is just me,
yes,
I think he backed down.
Yes.
I think Elon Musk does pose a threat to Apple that Apple would do very well to avoid. He could launch his own phone if he wanted to. He could do pretty much anything in tech that he wants to do and do it very well and compete with people and take market share.
This is exactly why you cannot negotiate for peace from a position of weakness.
No.
It's not possible.
He also sent this interesting, if not breathtaking, video from Apple HQ.
Oh.
He goes, the tweet is, thanks for taking me around Apple's beautiful HQ.
Where are the Chinese kids being bullwhipped?
Yes, you showed a pool.
That was filled with leaves.
Yeah. It wasn't even clean.
You can't afford a skimmer?
Yeah, nobody can go in the pool?
What is this?
So basically, I don't think he could really ever be serious about taking them off. I mean, that's a big, big app. You don't want to do that to a customer like that, right? They're making a lot of money off of it. And the plan, if Twitter was removed, is kind of tweeted out here, too. I certainly hope it does not come to that. But yes, if there is no other choice, I will make an alternative phone. Like I said, he could do that. He could make that happen.
Yes, Elon Musk could do it.
And I think that that's one of the reasons that they backed down. So we'll see if that is actually the case.
And here's my question, too. Look, I'm not a billionaire. Okay, in case you couldn't guess. Where are all the conservative billion? Why is Elon Musk carrying your water for you?
Yeah.
Why is he doing this? Hey, you mean to tell me there's no one on the right who has enough money where they could have stepped down? I was about to say Tim Apple.
Apple. That's the best one, though.
Tim Fuji. He's a Cortland.
Call me Tapple.
You mean that none of them could have stepped them down? Well, they're all creating other platforms and then selling them to other people and charging service fees. Where are the conservatives with the money? The people who say this is their reason, they're charging the hill. Why is it Elon, who has been a lifelong Democrat, who now is fed up with it? That is a story that I think we're missing here, yeah. Because we've had politicians on the show. We've called them to the mat where we've said, look, subpoena, demand that I go to a hearing. They don't want to. Well, you know that we have some information that nobody else has with these big tech platforms.
Please call us.
And they're like, yeah, no, it's about the clip. It's about the clip that we get online. Well, Elon's not looking for a clip. Elon is actually unloading, and I know it's not a clip, it's a magazine, and I mean figuratively, on the people who are trying to silence any voices of dissent. He is going after the kings and the kingmakers. Where are all the conservatives with the power and the money? You can't negotiate from a position of weakness. Elon understands that. We know that people on the right understand that, but they're not doing anything. And we are funded by viewers like you. We, of course, fight back as best we can, but we know, I mean, the best we can do is tank Google's stock price, like after the Vox apocalypse. That was fun.
That was a good day.
But it was accidental.
They came back. But so one of the things I want to say is he has so much at risk. Like, he's got billions of his own dollars, obviously, but he's also got several companies. He's got his reputation, his ability to do anything. If you know anything about Elon Musk, it's not about the dollars for him. He wants to change the world. That's been his thing the entire time. He wants to change how people interact, whether it be in commerce, whether it be in speech, whether it be in cars, whether it be going to Mars, whether it be Neuralink to try to help people. He wants to change the world. That's his thing. He's putting all of that on the line to make sure that your free speech is protected. So you have to respect that. One thing he dropped some information in a tweet the other day.
That's right.
Basically gave us a little bit of a peek behind the curtain into something that we thought was
going on. It's not enough information yet, but it is interesting.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get some details to this.
Yeah,
here's the quote from him. The obvious reality, as longtime users know, is that Twitter has failed in trust and safety for a very long time and has interfered in elections. Elon Musk just said that Twitter has interfered based on what he has seen.
I think there's just something else important, though, what he said. And keep in mind, too, even if you just believe that these people are being manipulated by purse strings, okay? If you believe that, they're only being subject to market forces, there's some truth to that. It's why, by the way, for example, I have a lot of hope for a company like Rumble. Mm-hmm. I understand that they're public companies. And people say, well, what happens when the shareholders demand that they start censoring content? Well, here's the thing. If Rumble decides to start censoring content, they're of no value to their shareholders because they said, screw you, to the entire government of France, and they're the alternative to YouTube. So it sort of is a beautiful safety check, right? It's, well, hold on a second. They're only as valuable as the freedom that they provide for content creators who want to leave the ghettos of YouTube. That's a very good thing. And of course, there are people who work at Rumble who we also know truly do believe in the cause, and they've been transparent and helpful.
Yeah.
Could have had the servers a little more robust on election night, but you know what? Hey, I get it. We're all on a learning curve.
They're growing.
By
leaps and bounds.
But this is what he tweeted out, Elon Musk. He said, Twitter 2.0 will be far more effective, transparent, and even-handed.
Oh, the horror.
So in other words, Twitter is only valuable if the user base, that's their capital, holds Elon Musk accountable to his right there mission statement. His mission statement is Twitter 2.0 will be, now this is, hey, how am I going to effectively create value? Will be more effective, transparent, and even-handed. Let's contrast that with Elizabeth Warren, with AOC, with Mark Zuckerberg saying, we need to do more to stop the spread of hate. In other words, that's their business model, where now they are beholden to a user base who says, yeah, we want you to work with the government and get rid of misinformation. The people who are going to be using Twitter, the only reason that they're going to Twitter now, it is clear as day, is because Elon Musk has promised that it will be more effective, transparent, and even-handed. Look, we can disagree. Do you want more control? Do you want more clamping down on misinformation, like getting rid of the Hunter Biden laptop story? Do you want to get rid of hate, meaning people who say that, hey, maybe we shouldn't have mass mail-in voting? Or do you line up with the mission statement from Elon Musk, effective, transparent, even-handed approach? That's a question that I have that only you can answer. This really does come down to your own personal opinion. What do you expect to see and which one do you line up with?
Yeah.
And they can comment there below.
Yeah, yeah. So what I hope to see, though, too, is that he releases the information that he's talked about releasing, too. He has said in the past that he is going to release information about the behind-the-scenes communications between the White House and Twitter and everybody else. So what do you expect, I guess, is what I want to know. Like, the viewer, Stephen, guys, like, do you expect it to be this, like, great
I want to hear Dave first because I have some information that you can tell me when to shut up because
okay,
you
right.
know with the half-Asian lawyer, Bill. So, Dave, you go first.
No, I disagree. Like, if he's got all the access to everything that's happened now that he owns the company and he's saying election tampering and everything else, obviously, he has some intel.
Yeah.
I would like to see it.
Hey, you know what, Elon? And Gerald, you can tell me when I have to shut up. Tell me to shut
up. Hold on, what are you going
to
say?
You can look into our account because we did file motions with Twitter.
Do we have a lawsuit?
We don't have a current lawsuit.
Are we suing them? They're suing us?
It's tough to keep track, but I do know that we filed some motions and we won. So,
Jack Dorsey, maybe.
Go ahead then.
Look into what happened with me. So here's what happened. This is a story that actually happened with Twitter, just so you can understand some context. And by the way, I would say this under oath. So consider this, consider this, right? A penalty of perjury if I'm lying. So Elon, okay? Go look into what happened with my account. Here's what happened. Twitter reached out to me and said, hey, you can reach more users if you advertise to people. And I said, oh, okay. At this point, I wasn't really running a lot of advertising, but the business was growing. I believe this might have been around 2011. I said, how do I do that? They said, well, what do you want? Do you want your tweets to get more interactions or do you want to gain more followers? And I said, well, you know what? At the time I was on Fox News and a lot of people weren't online. They would see me on Fox News, but they wouldn't give me the plugs.
Right.
So I said, you know, I'd like to kind of, you know, target people who might see me on television and give them the opportunity to follow me. They said, oh, so you want a targeted campaign to find followers. They came to me. I said, okay, how do I do that? They said, well, you can just write out a few tweets. So something, and they wrote out these tweets themselves. Twitter ads, to be clear, approached me and wrote the ads themselves. I didn't do it. And they said, yeah, you know, things like, create a set of three or four or five tweets, and what'll happen is it'll show up in someone's timeline when you pay, and it'll offer these people to follow you. It'll say promoted account. I said, okay. One of them was, hate progressives, follow me to quell thy pain, as seen on, you know, or Fox News.
Right.
Okay. They then, later on, either suspended me or removed my Twitter analytics, saying that that was a violation of hate speech. I'm like, wait. You took money for that, and you wrote it.
You cashed the check.
Yes. And so what ended up happening is they said, okay, well, we'll unsuspend you, but you know what? You just can't run ads anymore. I'm like, you mean I can't run the ads you wrote?
You asked me to run ads. I don't understand.
At S. Crowder, Elon Musk, go look into the advertisement history.
Yes.
You can question me. Call me to the mat. That happened. And you know what the truth is? Like, yeah, it would obviously make a difference for everyone if you don't have the ability to advertise on Twitter. We don't have the ability to advertise on Google at all. Any plays that you see right now on YouTube, just so you know, those aren't we can't pay. We cannot pay to plump up the
take our money.
They will not allow us to advertise. No. I don't think Facebook will either.
No.
And that's not censorship. That's just you have right of way, Elizabeth Warren. You can advertise the campaigns that we wrote for you. Again, do you feel free? It's not do you live in a society with laws. And it's not do you engage on social platforms that have rules. It's are they applied equally? And the answer is invariably no. If you agree with that, look, hit the like button because that pisses off YouTube with the algorithm. You can share. Or better yet, head on over to Rumble, hit the Rumble button, because that actually means something. I think. I don't know what Rumble button means. I don't know what it does.
Do you feel better?
I just know I hit the Rumble button. It's cathartic.
It's a plus.
That's not a real person.
Who is that?
That's Tim Cook.
Apple. That's cool. Tim Zissou.
Cool. He was like, yeah. He's definitely going like, yeah, we're not going to have Twitter on the App Store. Is Elon behind me?
Yeah. Bring that back up.
I was joking.
The Steve, that's Life Autistic with Tim Zissou.
Look, I feel like Denzel Washington's about to say, I just don't feel comfortable representing you in court.
But what do you want, Denzel? I wish you had more hats.
Mm-hmm.
So here's something else I want to talk about. Okay, this is a little more general, but it is something that affects a lot of you. And believe me, I hear you. We'll be taking your chat on Mug Club. We've all talked about this. I do think there's unfortunately a disconnect with people who just say, okay, boomer. Like, hold on a second. You mean the people who birthed you, right? They've contributed to society. But I also understand that there are some grievances from Generation Z, from younger millennials who are saying that the American dream feels further and further out of reach. There is some truth to it. And by the boomers, okay, older people right now who are likely going to retire, you can't just discount this because you are part of a generation that enjoyed some prosperity that won't exist before or after. Just to be clear, the baby boom generation. And you do need to understand that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, and at some point, someone's going to be screwed. So when you talk to young people, you say, oh, I paid into Social Security, so were they. They're probably not going to get it back. So I think there's a disconnect, and there really is a silver lining. The beauty is, yeah, you actually can live a much better life than your parents. It all comes down to your choices, and that is what you have now that they didn't have. So is the middle class screwed? Do you have it harder than the boomers? And one thing I think conservatives get wrong, you can let me know if you disagree with me here. I think sometimes the disconnect takes place when you have conservatives saying, yeah, well, your parents didn't have, and they name iPhone, lattes, luxuries. Let's not compare necessities like home cost or you know, how much you make at a job or a vehicle. Let's not compare that with niceties. I get it. A lot of young people are irresponsible and they spend far too much on luxuries, but that's a separate argument. It's not a comparison. So,
That's what's being sold to them endlessly, though.
Right.
Is luxuries. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to have.
You
That's
deserve what you have to have. This. Yeah.
Right. So this is something that you'll see a lot from like baby boomers. They'll say like, well, why don't you, you know, why haven't you started a family? Why don't you have grandchildren? I was married to your mom and I bought a home. Okay, this is the kind of thing that you will hear. And then you have people who are younger saying, well, that's out of reach. So let's go to then and now and give you an apples to apples comparison. Here's a then. It is a stinger?
Yep.
Oh, let's go. I did not green light System of a Down in anything.
Hey, I got some good songs.
Casey's been waiting to hit that for
oh my gosh.
Months. Yeah.
Did he just load that in? He's just waiting.
All right. So my question to you before I continue is, do you feel like it is out of reach, the American dream, if you are younger? Okay. Let me be really clear about this. I'm trying to give you as close to an apples-to-apples comparison as I can. All of the numbers that you hear, the dollar amounts, have been adjusted for inflation, so are in today's dollars,
yeah.
So you don't have to do the math. Just to be clear, because I can hear that criticism before you make it, references are available at LatterWithCutter.com. So let's go to then. Let's look at home prices. Okay. So the adjusted, again, the median home price in 1963, for example, was around $175,000.
That's $18,000 then, probably.
No, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
It was $18,000 then.
You cheated.
Hey, I didn't cheat. Show map.
Good for you. I cheat sometimes. So I look before the show. Sometimes I do a little research. I like to have a laugh. So that's then.
I won't lie.
Let's look at now. Okay, now the median home price in 2022. It's $425,000. We are in a bit of a bubble,
a hike.
But it is very expensive. So in other words, that's a legitimate grievance. I understand that. We'll give some more context after. Let's
loans
go.
Loans are 6.5% also right now.
Yeah, well, that's very low historically. That's what we want to understand. You know what
are
your parents
serious?
Were paying in the 70s? They were paying double digits.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So a lot of that. If someone in the 60s or 70s had a 6%, they'd be like, oh, my God, I got off easy. But
that's great.
This generation is used to 2%, 3%, again, because of artificially manipulated markets with the Fed. So let's now look at cars. That's a necessity. Let's go back then. Original price of Chevy's most popular truck in 63, I think it was the C10. Mm-hmm. Today's dollars, about $20,000. Okay, that seems pretty good. Now, the average full-size pickup truck is $61,000. That would seem like it's far more expensive. Again, we're doing the same. They're adjusted for inflation, the dollars. That's the average full-size pickup today. You had one choice back then. I'll get to that in a second. And here is one that is absolutely true. Boomers, I'm just asking if you're going to talk with your kids over the holiday season. Older people, you need to understand the world they're living in and the language that they speak. Let's go back then, the cost of education, okay? Back then, the yearly cost of tuition, we have a public colleges, universities, $2,300 on average. Private, $9,700. Again, that's in today's dollars, just to be clear.
Jeez.
Let's go to now, and this is a real problem. Tuition, fees, public, $10,400. Private, $49,000.
Jeez.
Wow, everything was just triple until that one.
Right. So here's the that's incredible, right? That is something where you look at it. Let's add up all of these costs. Just from this first portion of the segment, okay? So you have a house, $425,000, car, $62,000, education, $45,000 for that public four-year degree.
Yeah, that's
okay?
The public one.
Yeah, that's the public one, just to be clear.
You're getting off easy.
So, look, you can live this, but does that actually look comparable to your parents? Or if you are a parent, does that maybe give you some context here as to why young people are upset? Because you need to know why they're upset so that you can be ready for the lie that comes down the pike. And the lie is, you need the government to come in and save you. You need the government to provide, you know, cash for clunkers. You need the government to provide student debt relief, right? You need the government to have rent forgiveness. If you accept that those are the same costs for everybody, or you accept the premise that you have to go to university. Oh, and by the way, university became unaffordable, so the government has to make up that gap. And so if you're in university and you're not overcharging for a degree, guess what? You're leaving money on the table because some other prick who's a dean is going to take that grant from Uncle Sam. Let's be clear, this inflation, you're living it right now, more government intervention now, compare the inflation today versus what you had under Donald Trump. Okay, now, here's some...
By the time our kids are old enough, though, sorry to interrupt, you're going to have to be a millionaire to survive.
Well, that's what you would believe until you take some other things into consideration. If you're doing apples to apples, this was the path for my parents. Right? What you would do is you would go to college, then you'd work a job, and then you would retire. You'd be able to get vacation. You'd live in this house.
Yeah.
You'd have this car. There are a lot.
Die with regret.
Yes. That some things remain steadfast.
Oh, okay, good.
But there are a lot of variables that aren't being taken into consideration. Young people. So that first portion was for older people. parents and how to talk with your kids, understanding where they're coming from. Go check out the references. Young people, let me provide you with some hope here. And this isn't false hope. So let's look at, sure, homes seem expensive. But let's look at what happened to homes. Over the last half a century, the size of the average American home has grown by more than 1,000 square feet. Okay? There were no man caves, and there certainly were no reality shows about your home bar. It didn't exist. You're talking about 1,000 to 1,500 square feet. Wow. Okay? Now let's look at cars. Right? Well, you can get, by the way, an economy car for around that $20-something thousand. Yeah, yeah. Only keep in mind that the economy car today actually does have air conditioning, which that truck did not have back then. Actually lasts to 100,000 miles, which was the max on the odometer back then. Has airbags, seat belts. The point is, you have options. If you're saying truck to truck, sure. What about truck to crossover SUV? What about truck to economy car? If you're saying house to house, sure. What about 1,300 square foot house to 1,300 square foot house? We need to do the apples to apples comparison. Yeah. If we're going to do dollars with the size and with the amenities, with the capabilities that come with it. Again, no air conditioning. How many people out there who are poor, who live in Texas or Florida, driving a car today without air conditioning?
No, no. And but just don't skip over this power steering. You don't have to be Liver King to actually turn a car now, right? If you ever driven a car without power steering, we had bigger forearms back then for a reason.
Okay. Yeah, it was
makes
pretty
it
much
impossible to turn.
Yeah, just and also even shifting back then, it was quite a task.
Your Liver King couldn't do it. He's on so many stories. His ligaments are a fine powder. He'd be like, oh, I got to turn.
I assure you that car from the 60s isn't automatic.
No.
You were much busier. In the car.
And the clutch actively hated you.
Right.
So we have all these safety standards now when we're talking about cars. Fatalities have dropped 78% since 1960. And again, they last 2 to 3 times as long. You have this from the New York Times. All the references are publicly available. Okay. Here's something else. Let's look at the houses. Okay. You buy a home right now for the same price and the same square footage as the average house in 1963. You can buy a home today at around that same price. So a rural home in Fate, Texas, for example, $199,000. Even an urban condo in North Dallas, $169,000. That's a smaller one, just
to be
clear.
Comes with a bulletproof vest, too.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Well, it's like bulletproof glass.
Yeah. They tell you to bob and weave.
They just ask you to walk around with the glass so it becomes the vest.
You're going
to
want the garage and shut it quickly after you pull in.
Yes. And keep the exhaust running because it's going to be a rough night.
No reason to stay alive there.
So let's give an apples-to-apples comparison. For that exact same car, you spend $20,000 that your parents spent. You can have a very reliable car with amenities that they didn't have. For example, you can get a 2018-2019 Ford Fusion. You can get a 2018-2020 Toyota Camry. You can get a Subaru Legacy.
But why would you? Yeah, come on, nobody buys Subaru.
Well, hold on, if you're no, like we have lesbian viewers.
I do.
Doesn't Hootie drive us?
Hey. You can get cars for $10,000. 2014 Chevrolet Spark, $7,700.
What?
A Kia Soul. Don't talk about those gerbil commercials. I swear to God, I will murder you. $9,500. Nissan Versa, which I will never drive ever again. Now, so we've
gone through. I rented one of those, and I was like, could I get something I won't die in if something if wind hits me?
Was it a Kia or was it a Nissan Versa?
Versa.
Oh, yeah, I had that too. Yeah. Was it LAX?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, they always have the Nissan Versa. That's the one time I got it. The last time I got a ticket was LAX, a Nissan. Sorry, this is an aside, but this really matters.
Yes,
this,
it does.
I hate Nissan Versa.
Don't rent one or buy one.
No. When you're in LA, people who live in urban areas, you don't know if your headlights are on or off because everything is lit, right? Yes. You're driving in an urban area. Here's the problem with this year of Nissan Versa. I leave Hertz at LAX. The headlights aren't on. I couldn't know because all the interior lights automatically turned on as though it was nighttime.
Nice.
So I get pulled over by a police officer not a mile from LAX saying, hey, you know why he pulled you over? And I wasn't even being a smartass. I said, like, I know you hear this a lot. I genuinely have no idea. He goes, so you don't see a need for headlights? I said, lights? I'm missing. No, the lights are on. He's like, well, your headlights aren't. I said, you're bullshitting. He said, tell it to a judge.
Oh,
and I did, and I lost.
And then four other LA cops came and beat the shit out of you.
No, no, no.
Stop
that was,
resisting, sir.
That was the citizens when I was doing my weekly semi route.
Oh, right.
They dragged
Fair
me
enough.
In. So we have homes. Hey, you can do what your parents did. Cars. Hey, you can do what your parents did. You can even do it for cheaper and have more luxuries. Let's look at education.
Oh,
that is a big component.
Wait, sorry. We have a quick breaking news story.
Okay. Oh, what's happening?
Yeah. Come on.
Is that a new commercial?
Come on. The choice is yours.
It gets better.
Hated it. Yeah, you know why they're on the street? Because it won't start, because it's a piece of crap. By the way, could it be more racist as far as
that's
those
true.
Gerbils
that's
go?
Very true.
Yeah, you know, they're hamsters doing black stuff. That's my pitch.
Yeah. Flavor Cage.
What? Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
They're just happy to be out of Richard Gere and singing again.
It was an ad campaign created by a bunch of Koreans.
Yeah,
true. We make an animal like a black man.
We love a devil.
Yeah, it's good.
We admire your Richard Pryor. Fine.
Who's going to watch that commercial and go, yeah.
That's my kind of
that's,
car.
That's the kind of car.
Gerald did at one point. He liked them.
I know,
I did
that.
Not.
I used to own one.
Listen.
Well, you used to own the car, but you didn't like the commercials.
No. The commercials were shipped. The car was...
With your giant gold cross and Timberlands.
It's a bridge too far.
Here's the thing. Don't trust experts. An expert ad agency came up with that. And no one stopped it. For example, I had a fridge that broke, and so I got a new fridge. I swear to you, and I'm going to get to education in a second, but I swear to you, this is a fridge. And when I was a kid, I used to think that if you had an ice maker or water from your fridge, you were the rich person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like,
you don't
that person's rich.
Trays?
I can't be busy being bothered with that. What am I, retired? So usually you have left and right ice, right? You have ice and you have water. Or you have a button with one spout that goes from ice to water. The engineers decided that in this one, they were going to have the ice button recessed into the fridge and then the water button in front of it. Here's the problem. In the middle of the night, there's only one light. So if I put my cup up to get water, I'm covering the only light for the ice spout. And it leaks all over the floor, and now I have water damage. No one at Maytag said, hey, hold on a second. You won't see the light. These are the experts. Your engineers didn't realize the problem that took me 3 seconds.
I think it's important to say this one, too, if you can even find it. The 2003 Focus was a Detroit Technofest Focus.
Oh, boy.
This was a car designed for people on a designer drug.
Yes.
Like, it was for people on ecstasy listening to techno music. And they even had a commercial for it. And I was like, is ecstasy so popular that we're actually just making it into cars?
Right.
Now? Like,
yes.
Somebody's like,
yes, it
the
is.
Pacifier just at Ford. Like, I got an idea.
Yes.
More speakers in this tiny car.
Why do you think they named the next one the Fiesta?
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to feature it in the movie Go.
Is it safer? No. Not especially with one of us behind the wheel.
Yes. Wait till you see our Ford Burning Man.
Yeah.
Hint, it's you.
It's the Honda Bonnaroo.
The Subaru Coachella.
Firefest.
They're just all piled up.
It's just a bunch of lesbians on an island. Yeah. So, no.
I'm telling you. How insane is this? This is why nobody really remembers.
This is the Focus?
This was, I'm telling you, it was designed. It was a. It's a drug ad for people on ecstasy.
You would have to be on drugs to think that car looks good.
Yeah.
It's so plain.
This is for somebody rolling on E.
Look at that. The most soccer There's bomb car I've ever seen player. In my life.
Like, it's like, yeah. Oh man, pretty lights and yeah, it's the one I want.
What? All right, the editors are gonna have their work cut out for Crowder bits. So we've gone through housing, we've gone through we've gone through cars. Now let's get to education. This is one that is a problem. If you believe that you have to get a college education today, hint, that's a lie. So we compared the costs. Right, it's more than four times when you're talking about a major university, or so now you have the home price that's the same as your parents. Now you have a car that's cheaper than your parents. You have more luxuries. You have air conditioning. Hey, seatbelts, you're doing better. But let's compare university versus a trade school. Cost on average for trade school is somewhere around $5,000 to complete. And if you look at people who graduate from trade school, unlike people who have a master's in gender studies, starting salaries, depending on the trade, they can begin at $80,000. So let's go through this in a conclusion. Sure, are houses more expensive in general? Yes. Are cars more expensive in general? Sure, if you want to get the expensive car. Is college tuition more expensive in general? Absolutely, astronomically so. But that doesn't have to be the American dream, because you can now live in a more rural area or suburban area, or you can live in a condo, which was not an option available to people in the 1960s. You can pay the same amount as your parents, have modern amenities, you know, like
air conditioning, locks. You can drive a car, a used car, an economy car for cheaper than your parents. You can go to trade school and make more money than your parents could have ever dreamed of making in their early 20s. That is an option that is available to you right now. You just have to go out and take it and not think that, for example, a Ford Focus or a Subaru Outback or, for example, being an electrician is beneath you, because that's what you're missing. Your parents didn't think that it was beneath them. Yeah, they made this and they got to go on vacation. Your dad was working on a factory line, just to be clear. You want to work in an office. And by the way, you don't think that you should have to go into the office because you were raised during a pandemic that was, well, I shouldn't say you were raised in it. You were raised during government policies thrust upon you under the guise of a pandemic where you think you can show up to work maybe twice a month and make that kind of a full-time salary. You have far more choice available to you. That's why the left is so aggressive in pushing the lie. They need you to believe the lie so that you are dependent upon them to sustain your life. Because, hey, if you believe school is out of reach, a car is out of reach, a house is out of reach, every government policy will be accepted with open arms. When you understand the options that you have, guess what? Congratulations. You've now just turned into a registered Republican, or at the very least a conservative. You don't need an R next to your name. So you can comment below. I'd like to hear your choices that you have made. If you're a millennial, if you're Generation Z, I really wanted to recap this because we hear, look, this is the one sort of show on the right where a lot of you, the average viewer is, I think, 28 years old, 31 years old. You know, we're not selling. We don't. I mean, we have G. Gordon Liddy waiting in the wings. He's on retainer. We haven't used him yet.
Right. Of course.
I mean, not yet.
Yeah.
But you are right. I mean, that's very interesting about that. Well, I would have said it was dead, but now that I think about it, it's not.
Well, it's just like right here. Where it's like, okay, go 20 miles. Go 20 miles out. And now the house prices drop.
And you're right. Like working on the line, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're drunk. You
hard
got
work.
A cigarette hanging out of your mouth.
Sure.
You still come home with all your fingers and a paycheck. That's amazing.
Yes, exactly. So that's a win.
Yeah. Well, and they want it now. That's right. One of the biggest problems is that kids right now see the success of their parents and they go, ooh, I want all of that right now. Whereas their parents were, at least maybe not this previous generation, Gen Z, but the baby boomers were like, I'm going to work for it and get it over time. I'm going to make smart decisions throughout my
life. Some
of them.
A lot of them are entitled.
Not all of them.
Yeah, a lot of them are entitled people who vote Republican because they go, I got my pension.
Right.
I got my Social Security.
They became entitled, in my opinion, a lot of them. They went to work. They went and fought the Great Wars. They went and did everything that they were supposed to do and then said, we are entitled to this. And the entitlement carried over to the next generation, the 70s kids. And they said, oh, we are entitled to this. The government,
well, that's baby boomers. You're talking about the great generation is one who fought World War II.
Well,
baby
boomers I was came saying after maybe World War II and then the Korean War and you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that wasn't so largely
not
wasn't
the
boomers.
Great war. The Great War.
You're a little off on your timeline, but the principle remains. Some of them are good. Some of them are pricks.
That's true. And you don't get everything right now. You have to work for it a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, it takes time, and you do have choices available to you. And this is really what it comes when we're talking about Twitter. We're talking about big tech. It really does come down to one side. And look, woo, right, left, man, they want to have you keep fighting with each other. No, hold on a second. That's a stupid thing that fence sitters use as an excuse to be a pussy. Hey, man, let's stop fighting. Hold on a second. We just got into three fights today. Why? Because Elizabeth Warren wants entire government control of big tech. I am willing to fight. That's not someone who engineered me, man, to fight. No, that's wrong. I want to fight her. Why? Because I don't like her, and I don't like her ideas. Figuratively, to be clear, she's far too brittle.
She's not taking steroids.
Same thing when we're talking about Mark Zuckerberg. We're talking about student loan forgiveness. We're talking about rent forgiveness. What does that really mean? It means it screws the person who is not a landlord, who is a home provider who has to make those payments.
Yeah.
If you keep buying into the lie, think of this for a second. We've talked about wealth transfers, okay, with COVID. Private wealth transfers to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars when you're talking about, you know, Amazon and Apple during the pandemic because mom and pop shops were closed. What kind of a wealth transfer do you think happens if you buy into all these lies and you say, yeah, no, I don't even go to trade school and, you know, work a job myself. What I need is student loan forgiveness. The government just to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars just says, hey, we're now going to give this to universities. Hey, now they're wealthier. You say, oh, you know, hold on a second. I don't have the money for a car. Hey, you know what? We're going to provide some kind of a grant. Guess what? Now you have auto manufacturers who have also received bailouts. They're much richer.
Yeah.
The wealth that would be in the middle class, if you made your own choices, is now in their pockets. What do you think happens with, I can't afford a home? Well, you know what? Hold on a second. We're going to make sure that banks they're forced to lend to you. Then we'll call it predatory lending. They will lend to you despite the fact that you cannot make those payments back. We will make up the difference. Now you have banks that are too big to fail. It is a giant wealth transfer. The problem is when you see socialists and people like Bernie Sanders saying it's a wealth transfer from the 1%, as though it's taking place because of a voluntary exchange of goods and services. No, the wealth transfer that is taking place is always by force, from locking you down and shutting down your business, but keeping Costco and Walmart and Amazon open, to saying, hey, you know what, independent landlords, home providers, we're going to keep you on the hook, and everyone else who's a non-contributing zero, we're going to make sure you don't have to pay rent. To kids who want to waste time with 4 years of glorified alcoholism, saying, hey, you know what, we're actually going to take from the pockets of the people who went to trade school and are paying taxes and make sure that you pay for the student loan forgiveness for this person who won't be able to find a job anyway. The wealth transfers aren't just taking, they're not taking place from the capitalist system, man. They're taking place before your very eyes, and they're presented to you as a gift. Has the gift made home prices better? Has the gift made college more affordable? You have to ask yourself that, and then gratefully look at the options before you, and yes, make better choices despite the fact that it's a more complicated world. All right, we're going to chat Thursday. We will see you in New Jersey and Baltimore this weekend. We're going to talk about the U.S.
Women's.
Oh, my God. Let's go. Piss off, YouTube.